I'm speaking with pianist Lori Sims, performing at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival on May 4th and 6th. Lori is a favorite of Gilmore audiences and is also a professor of piano at Western Michigan University. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Kara.
Well, let's begin a little before this festival. In the last year, you recorded and released a very special project that we were really thrilled to get here at the radio station, a CD of the Goldberg Variations. Would you take me back to the moment that you decided to record? I understand you had to be kind of convinced, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, the genesis of it was actually that in my 17th year, I decided that perhaps it would be a nice idea to take a sabbatical. People encouraged me, you know, that was kind of a nice perk of being a professor. And I thought, there you go. And so I was trying to come up with a project. And for some reason, I felt that it had to be something outlandish. I don't know why. I just thought I had to come up with, you know, Plan B from Outer Space. And there's lots of things that it goes, lots of hoops it has to go through. And I thought, I better have like the Three Ring Circus or something. And so I went to go discuss it with the then director of the School of Music, David Coulson. And he was very patient listening to my outlandish idea. And he said, you know, Lori, why wouldn't you just record the Goldberg Variations? And I was like, ugh, you know, there's so many recordings and nobody needs another recording. And what's the use? You know, do I just put this on my shelf and, you know, call it good? And he said, yeah, but, you know, you have a special way of doing it. Maybe you should consider doing it. And then we talked about different ways that it could still be the Three Ring Circus. And I went through a lot of different sort of formations of how I was going to do this, including doing it on a period instrument or an instrument tuned in 18th century temperament and all sorts of things. And then finally, I just thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to play it. But the one, circus act that I did was that I decided to record it live. That was not necessarily because I wanted it to be, that was not going to be my distinction, although it turns out to be a distinction because not hardly anybody's really done that. But I just feel like I play better live. I like it better when I hear myself on recording. I'm glad other people like it, but I just don't. It just feels strange to me. And so during my sabbatical, I did lots of performances of the piece, and then it culminated on the January 3rd performance at Western, where I did the live recording. And the turnaround was very quick, and it was out just this November. And I am pleased with it because I think it is very personal. And I've been very lucky to get super good critiques on it. And most of them say, yeah, we didn't really need another recording, but it turns out we really like this one. So that's a good deal. So it was about a 10-year project for me. And a great project. I mean, it was hard for me to be done with it. I didn't really quite know where to go next after that.
You're pictured on the cover, sitting in some very familiar seats. You know, I looked at that. I'm like,
right.
I've sat in those
seats.
Yeah,
that's right. Have you put your feet up on them though?
No, I have to try that next time. You're in the Dalton Center Recital Hall.
That's right. And Carl Doubleday wasn't there to kick me off. No, no, I'm teasing. Yeah, that was a picture taken at the very end of the photo session when I was just stinking tired. And it turns out that's the good one. So
your friends, Nina Schumann and Luis Margalisch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now they're based in South Africa, but this is the third album you've released through their Two Pianists label.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been a nice connection again to just reconnect with your friends. And
well, I didn't actually end up seeing them for this one. I saw the recording engineer, who's also become a really very good friend. And but it is nice to do a project with people who actually really understand what you're doing. They actually also have a two piano recording of the Goldberg. So, I mean, it's very well known to them. And they were really excited about the live idea because that isn't something that has been done. So from their perspective, that's also a good thing for their company.
It's true. If you spend any amount of time in the classical music world and reviewing CDs or working at a radio station or a classical service, many, many new recordings of the Goldbergs cross your desk.
That's right.
And so you're like, okay, here's another one.
Yep.
You throw it in.
Right.
I had that experience. I saw it. I know you, so I'm excited to hear it.
Why'd you do that?
So, when I did put it in, I felt just within a few seconds, oh, actually, this feels live and lived in and unpretentious.
Good. That's just what I wanted.
It wasn't super serious like maybe the later Glenn Gould recording.
Right.
Nothing feels false about it,
which
must be really hard when you've got a hugely famous theme.
I feel that it's... I guess I feel the music is so genuine and I feel so genuinely happy about it. I must say that that isn't something that troubles me. I don't know. I didn't spend a lot of time listening to the Gould recording. I've heard it, you know, in years ago. I pretty much after a while stopped listening to recordings altogether. Not because I'm not interested and I find the piece constantly fascinating. And in fact, I find many performances really interesting and quite distinctive. But I think in order to sort of keep yourself on track with what you want to do, it's good to just kind of stay in your own little test tube and work it out. So,
weren't you worried that if you scheduled a live performance and gathered a live audience for this one day, that maybe you'd play it differently or better the next day?
You know, I am so glad that I did not really think about that. I had done so many performances. I did about 12 performances in the first semester. And so I kind of got used to the, you know, oh, today this one, no, tomorrow that one. But I also got used to I really knew exactly when my concentration was likely to flag or where I had to be a little careful. I'd done it so many times. The good news was, and this was like, boy, the planets aligned. That was absolutely the best performance I did of the whole, of all the times I've ever played it. So I guess for that, I really, really was happy. I just was totally in the zone. And I'm not just saying that because that's the one that ended up being recorded. I just was really happy with the whole thing. In fact, when we were reviewing it, unfortunately, the piano did go out of tune. And so there were things that had to be edited in. But I was pretty adamant about really preserving mostly the whole, and in the end, I think it's something 85-90% of it is actually from the concert, which I've been told is unheard of. They say live recording, but apparently that has a pretty wide range of how live it is. Mostly live.
Don't tell us. We don't want to know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No. So that was very, very important to me because I knew that was where my real inspiration was. I played it, you know, in the after takes. I could play it perfectly fine, but it just didn't have that juice. So, which is so important to me. That really is probably one of the, I guess, my something that is more important to me than other people.
Let's look ahead to the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival on May 4th and May 6th.
Yes.
You were performing Book 1 and Book 2 of Debussy's Preludes.
Yes.
My question, I guess, is when you look at your calendar and you see perform Book 1 and Book 2 of Debussy's Preludes during the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, how much literal time do you say I have to add to my calendar here in order to prepare these two sets of preludes? You could take another sabbatical to prepare something like that.
That you said that, I think that could have been a really, really good idea, Kara.
Usually what I do is I think, ooh, yippee, that sounds like a really good idea. Let's just dive in. Yeah. And then somewhere along the way, I think, ooh, wow, this is, you know, as it nears, I'm like, yeah, this has got a lot of music. And then I, you know, as if to add insult to injury, I, of course, added some pieces because I'm like, oh, it's only 37 minutes. The preludes, we got to have some other stuff. And so I have a couple of other pieces that I've added to each program. One of them is a set of preludes that I hesitate to say commissioned, but because I didn't pay for them, I just smiled and asked nicely. But David Coulson wrote three preludes for me that are absolutely beautiful. I'm really looking forward to premiering them, actually. Nobody has heard these yet, and it's going to be very exciting, I think. And then on the second program, I programmed some Messiaen. So with all of that jumbled together, yeah, it's been quite a spring. But it's also been really exciting because it's, again, it's kind of going into an alternate world from Bach in every aspect. That was the thing. I was really kind of scratching my head, you know, what shall I play next? You know, and there's a tendency to think, okay, well, maybe I'll just play some more Bach. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. But Debussy was really the answer because it really is just a super contrast. But my Bach years definitely play into this because it's so there's so many textures and layers, and so it's not contrapuntal directly, but you have to be listening to a lot of different layers of sound, and that's always exciting to me. I love that.
Debussy wrote etudes as well, correct?
Yes.
Do these focus on technique or more on something more atmospheric?
Well, they all have titles which occur at the end. So they are supposed to be suggestions of, I hesitate to say subject matter, but there's a realm, let's just say it that way. But it can be from anything from minstrels to the smells of the perfume turning in the air, which is such a really opaque idea in so many ways. Mostly I think that they focus around a kind of an idea. However, there is one particular prelude, which is just called, what is it called, for thirds. And it is probably looking forward to the etudes. So it's got alternating thirds. That's what it's called, alternating thirds. And so that almost comes across as one of his etudes. But even Debussy's etudes are definitely a cross between idea and quote-unquote technique. Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little about how these pieces may have changed the art of piano playing and the significance to it?
Yes, and that has been one of the most magnificent discoveries for me. They are so beautifully laid out on the piano, and they use the whole range of the piano. But in a one hears orchestral sounds and one hears the whole magnitude of the orchestra in terms of what the orchestra can do, colors, layers, the dynamic range, the just the range of sounds from high to low. And at the same time, it's quintessentially piano music. It couldn't be for anything else. And it's written so beautifully that one feels good playing it as a pianist. I mean, it really lays in the hands very well. And it's easy to produce those sounds. I think if you have the imagination for it, it seems to come very nicely. And I think Debussy, he isn't exactly using extended techniques, but you can absolutely hear that it's on the way to that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's that he uses the kinds of sounds from Eastern instruments and he's interested in exotic kind of things or Spanish or whatever it is, that he is thinking in those terms. And so the idea that we'll be next strumming in the piano in order to get that harp-like effect, or even pizzicato with the strings, this is not a far reach, which is interesting because the David Coulson preludes completely play on that. He knew that I was playing Debussy, and so it's almost like he just picked up that bag and took it for us and showed us kind of the direction that Debussy surely went or would have been going.
and where maybe George Crumb picked up and various other composers that used those kinds of extended techniques.
Do you have the music with you for these performances, or have you committed them to memory?
The Debussy is all committed to memory, the Messiaen and the Colson not.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It is, but it's, you know, I like that kind of work. Yeah. The truth of the matter is I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it. So at this point, I think I could be checking out, but I'm not at that point yet. So,
well, some of the preludes may go back in your performance history quite a ways, for sure.
You know what? This is the funny thing, is that I didn't like Debussy at all until I was 35. I played exactly one piece. Which was not any of these preludes. The preludes have come to me by way of teaching them. And that was kind of the, well, I saw Pelléas and Mélisande about 20 years ago in London, and it was phenomenal. And I thought,
that's
I could
opera,
like it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I did really kind of love it. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I could turn that corner, but I still wasn't really right there. But somehow through teaching, something happened one day and I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to give up the ghost and admit to everybody that actually I really do love Debussy. And that was, then I knew this was probably going to come at some point. Maybe not all 24, but why not?
Well, here's a moment to, we should definitely talk about what Andrew Rathbun and Jeremy Siskind are doing alongside your performances. The Gilmore has made it possible for listeners to come and hear the preludes as Debussy wrote them and you'll perform them, but also hear an improvised take on the preludes.
Yeah.
Have you been able to get a sense of what they're doing at all?
I have no earthly idea. They've been really under cloak and dagger there. But I can imagine very much what they will be doing. They're both such highly intelligent musicians, in addition to being absolutely great jazz musicians. But both of them are very knowledgeable about classical music and sounds, and both of them love Debussy, and so I know that they have sourced a lot of fantastic material, and I'm super excited to be able to hear that. Yeah.
Before I let you go, are there any other performances at the Gilmore that you would recommend to people that you're looking forward to?
Well, I am definitely going to go hear Yefim Bronfman on Friday. I think the opportunity to hear the Prokofiev sonatas with him is one that should not be missed. Yefim Bronfman studied with my former teacher. He was the superstar student. I wasn't there at the same time, but we always heard about FEMA. because why wouldn't you hear about him? He's just such an amazing pianist, and this is really his music and really his thing. So I am very, very excited about that. I am sorry that I am not going to be able to go to the Jeremy Dink concert, because I think that that is one of the most interesting programs that's being presented. And Jeremy Dink is also always fascinating and provocative and extremely intelligent. And the programming, I think, is just genius. I think it's just really, it's just, it's everything you would want in a concert. And it's kind of refreshing to me also to get, as much as I am guilty of also giving the Bach, Chopin, Debussy, Prokofiev recital, I love it that he's just pushing the envelope and going in so many different directions. And yet I know that it's all linked up and that it's going to be, you know, like a really good 16 course tasting menu.
It's so well thought out.
So, yeah, very, very well thought out. So, and then the third one that I'm very excited to hear is Till Fellner, which is, I think, the Saturday after I play on Friday. I first heard Till Fellner when I lived in Germany. I was listening to the radio and I heard him play a live concert, and I was just blown away and really moved. And so I'm excited to hear him live and excited to hear him a little bit older and all of that. So I think it should be a beautiful program.
Laurie Sims, thank you so much for coming to WMUK and previewing your concert. All
thank
the best.
You. Thanks.